Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started today. And as always, we're going to start with prayer. Father, we thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. Lord, we acknowledge that we're only here because of your grace and because of your mercy, Lord God. And we thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we ask, oh God, that you would have your Holy Spirit come. Move in us, Holy Spirit. Walk through us, Holy Spirit. We pray you don't just hover, but fall on us. Infuse us by your power in the name of Jesus. We know that greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. You are the most magnificent power in the universe, Lord. And we pray that you would work through us today in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray even as we break into your word, Lord God, Father, that you bring your revelation knowledge in the name of Jesus to each and every heart, Lord God. Father, you know how you have spoken to everyone through the week, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, that your word would confirm what you are saying, Lord God. Our prayer is that we would decrease and you would increase, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. And we expect it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we're going to get right into the lesson. I am so excited about this lesson today, guys. I don't know if you guys got a chance to look ahead and study ahead. But if you need a copy of the lesson, there's a few copies right there at the door. And we are still in session 5. And it is, what is prayer and what isn't prayer? And today we're going to talk about the presence. I mean, we just needed a whole Sunday just to talk about, hallelujah, the presence. Okay. Oh my goodness, what an exciting thing to talk about. And last week, just to do a review, last week we talked about what prayer is and what prayer isn't, you know, and we have to understand the gravity of prayer and all that prayer does. And we have to understand that if you are not engaging God, it isn't prayer. Okay. When you pray, you got to engage God. That's what prayer is, talking to God. So you have to be engaging him and not just going through the motions and not just going through a routine and not just saying words. It's a spirit to spirit kind of thing, you know, not kind of thing. It is the spirit to spirit connection. So we talked about, if you are not engaging God, you know, if your heart has all these walls up, but you're saying the words, but your heart is, you're missing something. You're missing something. You want to engage God. And we talked about the things that lack, that can keep us from engaging with God. And some of it was our heart focus. Where's our heart focused at? Sometimes we get emotional. And sometimes when we get emotional, we just want what we want. You know, we care less about the will of God and the way of God. We just want what we want. And sometimes we pray and our heart is not focused on the way God would do things. So our heart focus can pull us away from what true prayer is. And then we talked about the amenities of true prayer. You know, when you have true prayer, you have wisdom for your life. We hit on Psalm 16:11 that David wrote, "You show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And we broke that scripture down, and we talked about the three aspects of prayer, or the amenities of prayer, that are found in Psalm 16 in verse 11. It says, versus there's direction and there's wisdom for your life, folks. I'm telling you, when you start inviting God into your life, into the direction for your life, I'm telling you, you never want to give that up again, because God will keep you from tripping up so many times. I'm telling you. So David found that out. He talked about wisdom. He gives us wisdom for our life. He gives us joy, fullness of joy. And, you know, you may not think joy is a big deal. You know, so what's the big deal? Joy. You know, joy is a big deal. Do you know how many people are committing suicide? Do you know how many people are walking around just barely able to get out of bed, that are dragging through life day in and day out, and their lives are mundane because they lack joy? Joy is important. And when you engage in true prayer, that's an amenity of it. You know, you may not even be asking for the joy, but God just clothes you in joy. Just because you're engaging with him. And I don't know if you ever had that experience, but you come out of prayer and you feel lighter. And you feel like, oh my God, you know, I'm happy. I have no reason. Nothing has happened. But I'm happy. That's the joy of the Lord. And it's not based on your situation. It's not based on circumstances. It just is. because you've come into his presence. And finally, David talked about there are pleasures forevermore. And he talked about the pleasures that there are when you come before God. I mean, God gives you so much, just the pleasure of the fruit of the Spirit, the pleasure of love. You can love better. You know, we already talked about the joy. You have more peace. That's another amenity of prayer, one of the pleasures of prayer. Peace is pleasant. Yes. It's pleasure. It's pleasant when you have peace, isn't it? Amen. I mean, if you've ever been stressed out over something and then that thing is over and you just get this peace and you feel better, it's an amenity of prayer. You can get the peace even in the middle of the situation. It's one of the pleasures. Yes. Of God, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control, all of those are pleasant things that you can have when you come into true prayer. So again, we want to look at what prayer is and what it isn't. It's not this mundane thing that sometimes people talk about. You know, and you know that people, that if you're not truly engaging, you're going to find prayer to be a chore. You know, if you was okay, we got to pray. Oh, we got to pray over our food. Oh, okay, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, prayer is a chore. Oh, when you're not engaging, you're just going through the motions. But I'm telling you, you start engaging God. Oh, I'm telling you, you're going to become addicted like David was addicted. David was addicted to God. He was addicted. You know, when he messed up with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, he's talking to God. He says, whatever you do, don't take your spirit away. Whatever you do, Jesus, do whatever you want, God, do whatever you want. But whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, he said, because he was so addicted to the presence of God in his life. So as we move on to this today's lesson, we want to talk about the presence. What is this presence all about that people are talking about? And, you know, why is it such a big deal talking about the presence of God and, you know, and all of this stuff? Well, let's talk about it a little bit. So if you turn in your handout, there's a top, I don't know what page it is on your handout. Page 31, the presence. And we just want to talk about going into the presence of God. And your lesson says, most of us have not yet experienced what it is to be in the full and visible presence of God. He has invited us in through the blood of Christ. The veil has been torn, but we still linger outside of his full presence. In his presence, we are overwhelmed. We are stunned and speechless. And when we did speak, we would be humble, reverent, and very careful what came out of our mouths. And that's from our book on page 34. But I have to go back a little bit because we ended last week talking about John in the presence of God, and we were reading from Revelation 1. So if you just go back up on your lesson a bit, we've got it printed out there, Revelation 1, 14 through 8, and I just need to read it again. When John saw Christ, he was awestruck because he was seeing him as he is. And he wrote this. He said his head and his hair were white like wool, glistening white like snow. And his all-seeing eyes were flashing like a flame of fire, piercing into my being. His feet were like burnished white hot bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was powerful like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword of judgment, and his face reflecting his majesty, and the Shekinah glory was like the sun shining in all its power at midday. Hallelujah. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, absolute deity, the Son of God, and the ever-living one, living in and beyond all time and space." Hallelujah. This is who we're serving, folks. This is what he was actually in the very presence of God. And you can see his reaction as a human being. His reaction was to fall at his feet as though dead. I mean, when I saw this, he saw this, I had nothing to say. And I was afraid in his presence. But as we talked about last week, oh, we're in his presence, but he comes and he puts his hand on your shoulder and he says, don't be afraid.
Yes.
And the reason why we don't have to be afraid, because he shed his blood so that we could be a part of this magnificent family of God. So he came to him and he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, don't be afraid. As majestic and magnificent as he is, we don't have to be afraid. Now we go back to the presence, as we talked about the presence of God and what that was, and that we are speechless and we are overwhelmed and we are stunned when we enter into the presence of God. We have nothing to say. You know, as he said in the scripture, his eye sees me, piercing into my being. So what do I have to say? What do I have to explain to him? What excuse can I bring to him? Nothing. You fall at his feet as though dead. When we come into his presence, we come imperfect. We come stressed sometimes. We come with a poor attitude sometimes. We come having made mistakes sometimes. Oh, but because of the blood of Christ, we are received and we are given grace and we're given mercy. And we are invited into the family of God and into his presence. So you see that picture in your lesson where it's we're looking at the hands going behind the veil. Remember, the veil was torn in two and the Lord was able to take us behind the veil into his presence. Your next point in your lesson says, too many of us take for granted the privilege of his presence. That is only accessed through true prayer or true engagement with God and his Christ. This engagement cannot be fabricated or faked. Either it is there or it's not. Simple as that. The only reason we've been given the privilege of prayer at all is because Jesus, our great high priest, has violently taken on our sins with his own blood and passed through the heavens to create a portal of access to the Father. Oh boy, so if you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 4:14. We just want to read what that says. That's the only reason why we can come. And it says, inasmuch then as we believers have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Let's say it again. Let us hold fast to our confession. After all that Jesus did for you, your job is to hold fast to your confession of faith and cling tenaciously, the Amplified says, to our absolute trust in him as our Savior. Wow, and that's Hebrews 4:14. We come to understand, or we need to come to understand, the importance of this access to the Father. It determines our state of being on earth and into eternity, that we can come into the presence of God. Because once you leave earth, where are you going to go? If you cannot access the presence of God, where are you going to go? There's only one other place. So you want to see how important this is. You want to be catching glimpses of the presence. You want to be holding fast to your access to the presence. Because we're all leaving here, folks. The clock is ticking for all of us. As I said, you know, I was thinking this morning, God, why did we have to grow old before we die? Why couldn't we just stay young? Why did you have to put this internal clock in our bodies to remind us every day that we're getting old and this whole body is wearing out? I think he did that on purpose. He said, I wanted to keep ever before you that you're leaving here. Because if we were young forever, we probably would forget that. But boy, when those knees start creaking, ooh, and those hairs start turning gray, click, click, tick, tick, tick. They're like ticks on a clock. Heaven sounds sweeter all the time. When the old body starts aching, it's always a reminder, I'm leaving here. This vessel's wearing out. And I'm going to go one day. And I believe God did that on purpose so that we would be reminded, stay, come in my presence, come near, draw near. Because when you leave here, you've got to go somewhere. And folks, I don't know what I want to go into his presence.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, what does the scripture say? It's to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So we got to understand this presence piece. And why is it such a big deal? Because sooner or later, you're going to have to face the presence of God. And you want to know about it. You want to know that I have access. I'm holding fast to my access in Jesus Christ, that I have access. So again, that scripture, Hebrews 4:14 is so important. The only reason we've been given the privilege of prayer at all is because of Jesus Christ, our high priest. The next point of your lesson says, once you have tasted the presence of God, you are never the same. Can I say that again?
Amen.
Once you have tasted the presence of God, you are never the same. David wrote with excitement, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And this is Psalms 34:8. And I just want to park here for a minute. Let's talk about this one little scripture that David described as he was describing God. David, in his effort to communicate how wonderful the presence of the Lord is, he likened it to tasting something that was delicious. That's the only way he could communicate it, is that I have to paint a picture in your mind of tasting something that's delicious. Tasting involves taking something into your body through your mouth and experiencing it through your taste sensors or your taste buds. And the tongue is really interesting. You know, studying the tongue, you know the tongue is made up of different areas in your tongue that taste different things. There's a part of your tongue that only receives sour tastes. And there's another part that only receives sweetness. And there's another part that only receives bitter. And there's another part that only receives saltiness. Who knew? But yes, that's the way the tongue is made up. So it's so interesting that he used this analogy to talk about God. And you can't taste anything unless you take it into your body through your mouth. So he's talking about you got to receive God. It's not a matter of God just putting himself on you. Oh, God is like waiting for you to receive him. So he says, oh, taste and see. So as we look at the tongue and how incredible an organ it is, you see that there's a different part of the tongue for everything. And that's why when you eat something, you can taste the blend of flavors. You ever ate sweet and sour pork or sweet and sour? I mean, you can taste both because of the way God designed the tongue. You ever eaten a casserole and they got all kind of things in there? They got the meat in there and they got the cheese and they got the onion and you can taste all the blend of flavors. You know, if God didn't create us, we wouldn't even be trying to cook. But we try to cook because we love those blend of flavors, the vanilla and the butter. Oh, don't get me started. See, I'm talking about the pound cake now, bro. You know, so. But if you can imagine why David used that analogy, because when you go into the presence of the Lord, you are tasting a multifaceted God. I mean, you go into the presence of the Lord and you feel a love. I think that's the first thing that hits you. The love and then the peace and then the joy comes along. And then, oh my God, I want to be kind to somebody. Oh my God, and I don't want to be so rough. I'm ready to be gentle. Oh boy, and all the other fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I'm ready to long suffer. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to hang in there. I was going to quit, Lord, but Lord, because I came into your presence, I'm ready to go another day. Hallelujah. I came in crying. I came in discouraged. I came in wanting to just throw my hands up and forget the whole thing. But when I came into your presence, I tasted some long suffering. That's in your Holy Spirit. So I see why David used this comparison, because God is multifaceted. And when you come into his presence, things that you didn't even ask for, you receive in his presence. You weren't even expecting that. God, I didn't even talk to you about that issue. Oh, but you come into his presence and you taste all these blends. Oh boy, I didn't know you put dried cranberries in there. Oh my goodness, that was a surprise. That kind of popped out of that chicken salad, you know. Jalapenos, I didn't even expect. I didn't know you put a little jalapeno in there. Oh my goodness. That's the way it is when you go into the presence of the Lord, and it's almost to a point where it's indescribable. You can't even talk about it. He just says, oh, taste and see. I can't even tell you what my experience was because it's indescribable. All I can tell you to do is taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good. So you can't tell people about Christ. I mean, it's so hard, you know, when you see people in the world and they totally miss what it is to be a believer, you know, when they talk about us and they say this and they say that, oh, they're brainwashed. Oh, they're this. Oh, they drank the Kool-Aid. Oh, they have no idea. I'm like, you have not tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You know, and I can't even explain it to you. All I can tell you is I'm asking you, I'm begging you, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's what happens, folks, when you're in the presence. And that's why when you see somebody that's in the presence, there's a difference. Their countenance is different. What you so happy about? Their countenance is different. Attitude is different because they have tasted him. And they saw that he is good. His presence overwhelms you because it's indescribable to anybody. The next point on your lesson as we go, we talk about Moses in the presence of God. Moses' face shone as he came down from Mount Sinai after being in the visible presence of God. His face was so radiant, he had to cover it with a veil. Oh, and this is seen in Exodus 34. Very few servants of God have had this experience that we know of, you know, where their face was so bright. Radiant. I mean, I've seen the brightness on people's faces, but Moses' face was so bright that it shone before the people. As the people looked on the radiance of Moses' face, they learned the seriousness of meeting with God. Because that's what happens when you're in the presence of God. And people come out of the presence of God, they come out sober. Folks, they come out sober. They understand something. They have a newness of understanding. They learn that when you meet with God, you are changed. That's what they saw with Moses. They saw when he met with God, something changes with you. Oh, the Israelites, it says in Exodus 34 and 35, it says the Israelites would see the face of Moses, how his skin shone with a unique radiance. So Moses put the veil over his face again until he went to speak with God. I mean, it was so bright and so brilliant that Moses, I think when he was probably talking, they were so distracted by how he looked. And he says, okay, I'm trying to tell you what God said, but you all are so distracted. So I'm just put the veil over my face. And then I'll talk to you and I'll tell you. Because again, it just shows a focus, the focus of this man of God. Who had been in the presence of God, he's like, you know what? I'm taking off the flashy suits. You know, I can afford the suit, but I'm going to take off the flashy suit. I'm going to take off all of this because I don't want you all to be distracted because I've got something to tell you about from God, and I don't need you distracted. And you could tell when a person's been in the presence because they take off the bells and whistles so you can hear. So you will no longer be distracted, you know. So sometimes you can see that change taking place in people, that they change things up because it's all about getting the message to the people and not about them anymore. Amen. When you meet with God, your countenance brightens as his presence lingers with you. So you're different. You come out changed. The next point on your lesson says, as you experience the presence of God, you live with greater care. Oh, hallelujah. You live with greater care. You take to heart the teaching to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling more seriously. When you get into the presence of God, man, you start taking this seriously because you've had a glimpse of who he is. And you know something has changed in you, and you start to take everything more seriously. You're watchful. You're more careful what comes out of your mouth, oh, you're so careful. And boy, and if you do mess up, boy, you repent immediately. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. That's your motto. You're like, oh no. You know, oh no, you can have it. Oh no, you go, you have it. You have it first. We're not going to argue. We're not going to fight about this. Because I can't have anything separate me from where I've been. It changes you. His word comes alive to you. You know, you may have read the Bible and read the Bible, but I'm telling you, you spend some time in the presence of God and you'll find that this word comes alive. Amen. And the Holy Spirit starts showing you things in the word that you never saw before. You have read that scripture 100 times and you go into the presence of God and boy, he will bring that scripture down to you and you're like, oh my goodness, that one line. Oh man, I was excited when I was studying the tongue yesterday. I was like, yes, I appreciate it because God wastes nothing. You know, my medical training, I was like, oh Lord. And the Holy Spirit brought it all back to me. Remember when you studied the tongue? Remember the tongue this? And remember how this side was? And I'm like, oh my God, that's how it is in my presence. You know, that you're getting that whole blend. You don't even realize it. And when you taste something that has all these blend of flavors and you appreciate it, oh my God, that's how it is. Your presence. And when you've been in the presence, he'll open the word to you. You know, this is not unique to anybody. This is not unique to me, man. He'll do it to, he said, I want all, come. He's telling everybody to come. Oh my God, he'll give a child revelation. You know, if they would just come into his presence, he would do it. You know, nobody is special in that. He'll do it. This verse in Philippians 2:12 is where we find this verse about soul salvation. And it reads in the Amplified, continue to work out your salvation. That is to cultivate it and bring it to full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity. Wow. With awe inspired fear and trembling. Now, how are you going to get awe inspired fear? By being in the presence. Because see, if you've been in his presence, like John was awe-inspired. He had awe-inspired fear because he was in his presence. So the word says, with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation. Oh, no, I got to evaluate myself too. Yes, critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. Oh, my. There's a lot in that verse right there about us, about Christians, about believers, how we should be, how we should behave, how we should act, and the reason why. And you got to get in this presence. The Holy Spirit will tell you stuff about yourself that you didn't even know about. Oh, you know, they talk about those repressed memories and all that stuff. God will bring all that stuff. And not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to heal you. He's like, it's time to deal with this because you keep acting out every time you're around and you fill in that blank. This person, it's time for us to talk about it. Let's reason together. Come on, let's talk this out. And let's get you healed of this. Awe-inspired fear and critical self-evaluation. Lord, why do I act like that? Why do I fly off the handle every single time? Lord, why do I get these funny feelings every time? Lord, why? Oh, bring it to him. Bring it to the presence of God. And the nice thing about it, he heals you. Yes, that happened. Yes, this went on. But I'm going to use it as a testimony of overcoming because there is somebody out there that you're going to run into, oh, that's going to need to hear what happened to you. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, we always think about what happened, but I have run into so many people that needed to hear what happened to me. God, why did you let this happen to me? Why did I have to be the one that go through this? Why did I have to be, you know, why couldn't I have the perfect life? Why did I have to? Because this is a broken creation. People are hurting. People are broken. People are suffering. And they need to know and see somebody that has overcome through the blood of the Lamb. And what does it say? The word of your testimony. Mouth, though.
Yeah, right.
But the word of your testimony, they need to hear it. So let God deal with it. Let him dig it up. Not to hurt you, but so that you would overcome. You need to overcome that thing so that you can tell somebody, well, that happened to me too. That happened. Oh, aren't you blessed by the testimonies that you hear?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I went through that. And you're like, what? You? You? You with the smile on your face? You with the radiance of God?
Yes.
You went through that? Yes, I went through that. Hold on, let me sit down. I want to hear what you got to say. I don't know how to overcome this. You keep talk to me. Tell me. You've given me hope that God can bring me through too. Oh, folks, we gotta get this. We gotta get this. This is this presence piece of you're working out self-critical, self-evaluation to avoid anything that may discredit God or the name of Christ. When you've been in the presence of God, you become more careful about how you represent him.
Yes.
Oh, you watch yourself. You know, I tell people, other people can do that, but I can't. You know, yes, they're still a Christian, but they can do that. I cannot do that. Because God's got me in a place where I have to be more careful with myself. They'll get there, you know, or their ministry is different, so they can do that, but God's got me here with my care in my own soul salvation. I can't care for your soul salvation. I got to care for my own soul salvation. I careful how I represent him. Even in front of your family, be careful how you represent. Don't feel you can get comfortable because you're at home. Oh, those people in your household, they're assigned to you, folks. Mm-hmm. They have been assigned to you. How do you know that, Karen? Because they were born to you. Mm-hmm. And that was no mistake or accident. They were born to you. God knew what soul he was putting where.
Yeah.
So they're assigned to you. So even in your home, you have to represent him. You know, he has taught me all over again how to be a mom. How to be a mom. I thought I knew about, you know, sometimes we think, well, I carry them inside my body for 9 months and delivered them to this world with pain. You know, I know how to take care of this child. No, you don't. I know nothing. I knew nothing about how to love my children. He taught me. Once I was open to listening, because for years I wasn't open to listening because I got this. I don't need Holy Spirit. I don't need you. I got this, you know. And then when I let him talk to me now, okay, oh God, I'm learning. Learning how to love. Learning how to do it your way. Learning how to represent you in my family. Learning how to represent you at my workplace. Learning how to represent you in my neighborhood. Learning how to represent you. You evaluate yourself more readily. Meaning, as I said, as soon as it slips out of your mouth, you're repenting. As soon as you slip, and I go, Holy Spirit, wait a minute, Holy Spirit. Oh, did I say something wrong? Should I have done that, Holy Spirit? Oh, my goodness. I love people that are so obedient to the Holy Spirit. I just had somebody text me. You know, they were, I saw them yesterday, and they were, we were talking about our fundraiser coming up, and she says, you know, she was donating something for the fundraiser. She says, oh, can I have a half? You think I could get a half price ticket because I'm so donating? I said, oh, yeah, we can look into that. We can look into that. And she's a believer. And she texted me this morning. She goes, listen, forget the half price ticket. I want to pay full price.
Yeah.
She said, I think it's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I need to pay full price. I said, okay, thank you, praise God. Because it's not for me. It's for the children, you know, and the Holy Spirit. Full price. I can afford it. He's blessed me.
Yes.
I want to pay full price.
Yes.
So again, just being so quick with the Holy Spirit and obedient. You have to lay down your pride. Oh, in his presence. Understanding that it is meaningless in his presence. Your pride is meaningless in his presence. All that you've accomplished, all that you've done, all your degrees, all your experience, all your money means nothing. In the presence of God. And you got to get that. Because sometimes we go in his presence thinking we're all that. Look at all that I've done for you. And look at how much I've given to you. And look at me. I'm teaching your word every Sunday. I'm teaching a class to your people. You know, so you come in the presence of God thinking you all that. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Let me capture a picture of John. Awestruck. On his face as though dead. So anything that you have is meaningless in his presence. It doesn't matter who wins the argument anymore. In his presence, who gets the last word, it doesn't matter. You come to understand that he will always get the last word, so you don't have to. That's what you learn in the presence. I don't have to say anything. You know, sometimes I want to just correct people, right? You know what? Yes. Oh, come on, we need to talk. You know, and not that you, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you need to have a discussion, but sometimes it was just you and your flesh. Mm-hmm. They need to set somebody straight. Oh, and you understand when you've been in the presence, you know God will have the last word in that. I can walk in humility today because he'll have the last word. Yes, they embarrass me, but he will have the last word. Oh, yes, I have the power in my hand to really crush them and take them down, but oh, he will have the last word. And there's something more important than my pride here, Lord. There's a soul that's hanging in the balance here. And I go and I use my tongue and I lash them up. And there's one that's lost or one that's pushed further away from you because of my pride. But when you go in the presence, oh my goodness, you're changed. You're changed and you don't have to win the argument. You don't have to get the last word anymore. You let it go. You trust him in the presence. You see who he is and you said, okay, I know you see. You're all seeing. You see it all. You see right through me and through everybody else. The next point in your lesson says the blood of Christ that bought your salvation is very precious to God. Christ's blood is the only reason we have access to God's presence, and our salvation can only be worked out, cultivated, brought to full effect, actively pursued to spiritual maturity in his presence. This is why you pursue the presence of God in prayer.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You need the presence in your life. And you will not even understand how much you need the presence of God in your life until you've been in the presence. Then you understand, oh my goodness, had I not prayed this morning, I would have. And you fill in that blank. Mm-hmm. Some of us would be dead today had we not spent some time in the presence, because we wouldn't have kept our mouth shut when we should have. You know, people will blow your brains out over an argument.
Yep.
Oh, because you've been in the presence and you learn to be quiet and pray instead of argue. You're here today. We don't even realize how much we need the presence until you've been in the presence. And God will show you things. And how many times have you heard later, you know what happened? So-and-so, this happened, this happened, this happened. And you said, oh, God, that could have been me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That could have been me, Father.
Yes.
Thank you for your presence. I thank God. God, thank you for your wisdom. Sometimes people come later. You know, I thought you were going to do this, but you didn't. I want to know more about you, Jesus. Why didn't you do that? And you got an opportunity because of Jesus. He told me to be quiet. He told me to trust him in the moment. Oh, hallelujah. So we have to get into his presence. We don't even realize how important it is. You know, and when we talk about the blood of Christ, that's why the price was so high to get in the presence. Because God saw how important it was for us to be in the presence. So he was willing to pay the ultimate price of his son's blood for it. The next point in your lesson, it says the telltale sign of one who prays is the honest reverence of God they have, even in their everyday life. There's a reverence for God. You don't get casual with God. You know, and when I talk about casual, I'm not talking about in what you dress and what you wear. You can pray in your pajamas if you want to. Okay, I pray in my pajamas many days. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking casual here. Casual in your heart. You come before God any kind of way in your heart, but you revere him. And Lord, I'm coming. You come into his presence with respect. They radiate his presence, and his presence embraces how they live their lives. You get that? As you come into his presence embraces you. And as you go out and live your life, his presence lingers with you. Hallelujah. Such believers have a constant awareness that the Lord is near. Oh, you're talking about praying without ceasing. Mm-hmm. You know, people that have been in the presence, they're talking to God all day.
Yes, yes.
Oh, they don't even need a prayer closet. They just talking to God all day, walking to the car, walking back here, walking there, walking to the supply cabinet to get something. You know, they're just talking to Jesus, mm-hmm. talking to Jesus. Spirit always singing a song. Spirit always got some song going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, because they've been in the presence and the joy. They can't shake it. They can't shake it. They just got to be praising. I'm thinking about that song my sister was singing last Sunday. Just can't stop praising his name. We used to sing that back home. Can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. You know, and that's the way your spirit is. Just can't stop praising your name. I mean, you're doing your daily work. You're cooking. You're doing everything you need to do. You're going to work, but you can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I mean, it's like a motor. Just can't stop praising his name. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Jesus. Okay. Oh, man. But when you're in the presence, boy, I mean, there's something that just is in you, just in you. It just keeps going and keeps going. You realize you're constantly aware that the Lord is near. Oh my goodness, you're never alone. He said, I never leave you, I never forsake you. And that becomes real to you because you sense him ever near you, ever present. I love when I travel, I always like look at the sky and says, God, you see me? Here, I'm in Atlanta, Lord, you see me? Because always, I always hear him in my spirit say, always. You know, and then we went to Canada. We went up to New York last May. We went up to Canada. Lord, here I am. I'm in Canada. I'm out of the United States. Do you see me? And he goes, always. Always, you know. And I just, oh, you see me? I'm here. I'm here. I know Apple got me tracked, but God tracks you better than Apple, honey, because sometimes Apple be off by a few blocks, you know. I'm like, I'm not over there. But you're constantly, you know he's near. Your lesson says they realize that prayer is serious business and that the audience of the Almighty is not to be taken for granted. Oh, wow. When you realize the price that was paid so that you could have audience with the Almighty, you should not take it for granted. As they pray, they see clearer the movements of God in everyday life. Now, let's park here for a minute. Clearer the movements of God in everyday life. Let me tell you, folks, God is always moving. Mm-hmm. He is constantly moving, but we're not always seeing it. That's why we're missing God, and we find ourselves in a mess sometimes because we are not seeing what's going on. But they that pray, they see the hand of God in many things. It has always been there, but we see it clearly. They can see now. And they easily obey and play their role in his movements, even if it's silence. That's when people pray. You know, sometimes people that pray, they're not very chatty. I find the more people pray, the less chatty they are. They're sitting there watching. And they're praying. You know, they don't say much. They're just praying. You know, I always notice the quiet ones that are just watching the room. They're praying, mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes the Holy Spirit says, be quiet. Don't get into this conversation. You don't need to jump into that.
That's right.
Yeah, I know they're talking politics. Don't jump in there. They're talking religion. Don't jump in there. Until I tell you, or if I tell you. If I don't tell you, let it go. Just pray. Pray so they can see his movements and they can see what God is doing. Oh boy, you know, and you're saying you ever been praying for somebody and then they will say something about God or they try to slip and ask you about God, you know, or they'll just comment and the Holy Spirit just let it go. Don't jump on it because you know we're Christians. Oh my God, you want to talk about Jesus? Okay, let's talk about Jesus. Oh, and you just said Jesus. So I want you to... And they're running. Okay, wait, peace, oh God. You know. But sometimes God will say, I just want you to know I'm working. I just want you to know I'm working. And they may not have even noticed it. But you saw the movement. You saw how God shifted their thought process, and their thought processes are shifting, and their thinking is shifting, and you're praying for that person, and God is showing you the movements of God. Oh, wow, you'll see a lot of God moving in people's lives. And I said, I've been praying for you. Watch. Have you seen what God has done? Are you seeing what God is doing? It may take years, but notice the movements of God when you pray. So those that pray are seeing the movements of God. In contrast, your lesson says, those who do not have a strong prayer life remain spiritually foggy and miss the movements of God happening daily. God is always moving. But if you don't have a prayer life, you're going to miss it. You're going to be foggy. You're a Christian. Yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you're a believer. Yes, but you're spiritually foggy. And you're missing the movements of God happening daily and personally. God is working on your behalf up close, and you're missing it because you're not praying. You're not getting into the presence. And corporately, what is he doing in the whole family? It's not just about you. What is he doing in the whole family? What is he doing at your entire workplace? What is he doing in your entire church? What is he doing in the entire city of Pueblo? What is he doing in the United States? What is he doing in the nation?
Yes.
You're praying. Oh, I've heard some good testimonies about how, you know, I was listening to KTLF. I listened to them, and they were talking about some of the statistics in the United States and how the statistics are changing when it comes to God. And how it used to be over 50% felt like it was better not to have God in your life. And now, he said, for the first time in years, that's dropped to less than 50%. 46% believe that they're better off without God. But the others, 60-some percent, believe, or 50-some percent, believe. And he said those numbers are changing in the U.S. as they're doing statistics. So they may not be running down the altar, but their mind is changing. Folks, keep praying. Keep praying for the nation. Keep praying. There are things changing. You see it in your kids. You see the attitude changing. Oh, keep praying. Keep praying. And you'll see and you'll hear the movements of God. That blessed my soul when I heard that. I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to keep praying. I see your hand moving. I see you moving in the lives of people. So what do we see nationally? What do we see internationally? What are you seeing in the world? Oh boy, you know, sometimes you just watch the news. Boy, you should watch some of these other videos they have on YouTube. There's this group, what's it called, Corn? You see some of these Corn videos? I don't know. They had a whole thing on Netflix. And they were showing this rock band. That was the Christian rock band that was going all over the world, and they were asked to sing, and they were invited to these different places, and how they went, they were in India, and you know, in India, they're mostly Buddhist or Hindu or something like that, and how they went into this temple, and they sat on the temple porch, and they prayed, and because they were speaking English, they didn't realize, and they started, and he took out his guitar, and he started playing praise and worship.
Oh, is this real song?
The group is called Corn, you know. I don't know if they're affiliated with Hillsong or not, but they were sitting on this temple singing praise and worship, and people started gathering. Did you see that? People started gathering.
It was awesome.
I was like, thank you, Jesus. They don't even know. They didn't realize, but they just sat there because they could sit there. They were, you know, people knew they were a rock band. They were sitting there, and they were just singing the praises of God, and they were invited to all these different places. Yeah. They were even into Israel, into the Dome of the Rock.
Right.
You know, they don't let anybody go in there if you're not a Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, they were invited to go in. They went in there and they were praying, just praying.
Praise God.
Praying, infiltrating, seeing the movement of God. See, the media fills your mind, and the news want to fill your mind with all the bad news and all this happened, that happened. But folks, I'm telling you, check out some of the things that are happening in the body of Christ. You may not hear it, but God is moving.
Yes.
And I believe he'll even let you see it. You know, as you pray, he'll lead you to places where you'll hear what he's doing. We don't want to be foggy. We want to see clarity what God is doing daily, personally, corporately, nationally, and internationally, what he's doing. You know, your lesson says, but as they pray more consistently, the fog lifts and they see his movements and hear his voice more clearly, and their faith will blossom. Folks, just begin just praying, coming into the presence, and watch your faith just blossom, because you'll start to see what he's doing. Because right now we're like, well, I prayed and nothing happened. I'm like, you know what? You got blinders on. You know, you need to get those blinders off. You know, like the Apostle Paul, you know, he had come to God, but he still was struck blind for a while until, who was it that came to pray? Was it Ananias? I'm trying to think who came to pray for Paul. I can't think of his name right now. Came and prayed for Paul. Prayer.
I was scared of Paul.
Prayer. Scales fell off.
Yeah, right. He was scared.
Oh, boy. So even if you've made a commitment to Christ, sometimes those scales still need to fall off your eyes so you can see. Those that have the presence of God are called to be patient. And you're called to be patient with your brothers and sisters as they're growing toward him. Guide them to prayer and pray for them. Please stop talking about them and pray for them. You know, yes, they're young and they're missing it. And yes, oh, you didn't see, I can't believe they didn't. They're just sitting there down there in praise and worship. They, you know, pray for them. They're missing the movement of God. Oh, you're missing such an amenity when you don't praise him. I'm making my business. Oh, no, I'm getting up. He was good to me this week. I'm praising him. You know, and they miss it because they don't know yet. They don't understand, but pray for them. The next one of your lesson says, how is your hearing and seeing of God's movements? And again, that's a personal question. You got to assess that. God, how am I seeing? How am I hearing your movements? Am I seeing it? Am I hearing what you're saying? Do you still have the veil up in your heart and mind, separating you from the Holy of Holies? As they did in the ancient temple of Israel, this veil separated the inner temple from the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelled. Only the cleansed priests were allowed to enter, on only once a year. At the moment of Jesus' death, the veil was torn down the middle so that you and I could come near to the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You were invited in. Hallelujah. You were invited in at that moment, but are you still lingering outside the veil? Hallelujah. They were scared to go beyond that veil. I was trying to get the picture up here of the temple, but you remember when we showed in the temple at the outer court. The outer court is where the Gentiles were, you know, and then the inner court was where the Jews could come, the people that worship God, and then there was the Holy of Holies that only the priests could come in. And so many of us, we've come out of the outer court into the inner court. We're in the inner court, but we are afraid to go past that Holy of Holies. Oh, my goodness. We're just lingering out there in the inner court, and won't come into the holy places of God. Many Christians are like that. They don't want any more. They don't want to come any closer to God because they don't want God to change them. I don't want to be labeled a holy roller. I don't want to be labeled a Jesus freak. I don't want to be so different from everybody else that people are looking at me, you know, and treating me a certain way because they think I'm so holy. I don't want to be given that label. So you linger outside his presence and you won't come into his presence. Because you don't want to change. And sometimes you haven't said it out loud, but you live the decision you made.
Yes.
You've decided. You know, I've had Christians, well, you know, we're good. We don't need all that. We're good. You know, I've accepted Jesus. You know, I'm good. You know, but no power in your life, no change in your life. You don't want to come any closer. Sometimes you have seen the change in others who have been in his presence and you don't want to change. Or another reason is that you feel guilty and you feel like, okay, I'm a Christian, but I can't come any closer to him because of what I've done. Because I keep making mistakes, you know. I'm trying, but I'm keeping making mistakes. And what you don't realize, you keep making mistakes because you need to come in the presence. If you come in the presence... you won't make as many mistakes because you'll be more careful with things. So sometimes the enemy torments people with feeling guilty or unworthy, you know, to come closer to God, you know, to do what God called me to do. Because if I come closer to God, he might call me to preach. He may call me to teach. He might call me to sing. He might call me to, and I can't because everybody knows what I did. Everybody knows who I was. So I can't come into his presence. I can't be up front. Oh, no. I can't be. And it's they're all lies from the enemy, folks. Oh, the thing that the devil doesn't want. He does not want you coming into the presence. Because he's ready to snatch you back out. He wants to snatch you back out. And the further you come from the presence, the further you get to the outer court again. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want you to come on in to the Holy of Holies. And oh my God, don't go behind the veil. Oh, please don't go behind the veil. Because people that go behind the veil, they're changed. They're different. I never get them back when they go behind the veil. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And that's why Jesus had it torn in two. So as we look at the scriptures, Hebrews 10:19-22, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place," hallelujah, "because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living way and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." Hallelujah. That's Hebrews 10:19-22. So there it is right there, folks. There's no reason you cannot come in the presence. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what kind of life you came out of. Oh, don't let the enemy tell you the lie that you can't come close to the presence. Oh, well, that's for the pastors, and that's for the praise team, and you know, that's for the prayer group, you know, that's not for me. I'm just happy to be inside the doors. I'm just happy that I can come, you know. Oh, don't cast away that lie and come into the presence of God. Oh, as you hear some of the testimonies of people, yes, you know that God can do it. You know that God can do it. The Apostle Paul, man, he murdered Christians. Yes. I mean, blatantly, openly murdered people. Yes. You know, it's against the law now, but back then, can you imagine? He went around killing people. Held the coats while they stoned Stephen. You know? But yet, this man makes a complete turnaround and comes into the presence of God and has the audacity to write to us about the presence of God. Hallelujah. And wrote a third of the New Testament. The murderer. Oh, Jesus. I mean, you look at his story. And yes, you need to come boldly into his presence. If Paul can come in here, I know I can come up in here. You know? Amen. Thank God for Paul. Is right, you know. Ooh, what did he say? Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of who I am chief. Hallelujah. Chief of sinners. Amen. So we're finishing up here.
Why that Paul never complained when he was so brutally beaten because of that he knew how it would feel.
I think for many reasons. I think he counted it a privilege
to be beaten
on cause of Christ. Yeah. Because of all that I did against your people, and now I'm one of them.
Yeah. How he was so cruel to the others, and now God was giving him some of his own medicine.
Yeah. Well,
but
I don't know.
I
don't know if God was getting him back as much as
getting even.
He had the privilege
of
suffering for the name of Christ,
yeah.
you know?
But it
I
was,
mean,
chosen.
Yeah.
Who has
yeah.
chosen
yeah.
to suffer too.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Or like I'm really one of them now
yeah.
because they're beating me up like I used to beat them up.
Yeah.
So I'm really one of them.
He can help them.
You know.
Yeah, because he never complained.
Yeah.
In fact, someone told me that when Paul got to town, he didn't look for a motel. He looked for a jail.
Uh huh.
Because that's where he knew he was going to be.
He was going to be in jail.
yeah.
Because he was like, I'm one of them.
Right.
You know, I'm one of them today. Mm-hmm. That's old song says.
Yeah.
I used to. How I came to love these pilgrims mm-hmm. is such a sweet surprise, the
yeah.
song goes, but I'm one of them today,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Used to look at them, and I couldn't understand them, but now I can truly say,
mm-hmm.
thank God, praise
yeah.
God, I'm one of them today,
yeah.
you know. So
yeah,
praise God for that.
The stuff that he lived in medical, you can see the bacteria that he was living
yeah.
in, those stalks
yeah.
and all that.
Oh, it was horrible.
And yet
yeah. It was horrible.
God took care of the infection. He didn't.
A lot of those prisons were just carved out of rock,
oh,
you
yeah.
know?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And not proper nourishment or
mm-hmm.
being stretched all the time.
Yeah.
I get a fingernail hurting that bothers me.
But, you know, I mean, just tying that back to the presence,
yeah.
because he had been in the presence of God,
mm-hmm.
he was able to endure it
yeah.
and rejoice in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when
yeah.
you think about these
yeah.
people, you read about them and you can't
yeah.
imagine. It's because they were in the presence.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in the
yeah.
because they were in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
They could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They could do, you know, whatever came up, they can endure it because of the presence. Remember the long-suffering piece? That's a part of the fruit of the Spirit that we kind of glaze over sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't want to even talk about long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, that long-suffering is what gets you up every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to get up and go again. Lord, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And I'm so tired of this one, and I'm tired of that one, and I'm tired of but long-suffering. Oh, you go in the presence. Okay, God, let's go again.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Paul, come on,
yeah.
let's go
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm
yeah.
going to the next city, Lord. Probably be put in jail, but here I go again. Probably be put in jail, but here I go. Because we've been in the presence of God, if you can imagine having that kind of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody else?
Well, I know being in the presence of God, we need to read the Word every day.
Yes.
Constantly reading the Word and have a relationship deeper than ever with Jesus. And that's how we get to the presence of God. And we were in healing conference this week,
mm-hmm.
4 days.
Mm-hmm.
We seen the baby came alive, demon possessed.
Wow.
Removed, right.
The three different ones.
The
right,
three different
the
ones. For a person who was brain dead,
right.
could not
then
talk 20, for 27 years,
right.
talk and
walk.
And walk.
She
and
looked
been,
dead, but she was still
mm-hmm.
walking.
Yeah, and she's
telling.
Just,
wow.
it's amazing what God has been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally
wow.
healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And I declared it, and we had you know, the interview us and everything.
And your senses, your left
mm-hmm.
your shoulder.
My
you
shoulder.
Feel
I, put,
natural,
I was trying to worship the Lord, you know, for that. Actually, I went 3 days, but and I couldn't. I'm like this because my
yeah.
whole shoulder
yeah.
was inflamed, and oh my gosh, it's just amazing how God is moving in this world.
He's
and
yes.
you know, they said minimize your symptom and magnify God instead. That's why it's kept in my mind. And one, I'm sorry, I'm just
oh,
so excited.
I'm just giving you a little.
I'm just excited because this lady, they said, well, she went in a mission and trip and everything. And you know how they said, if you go to Mexico or whatever world, third world countries that you know, don't drink the water, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah. And then she said, okay. So she went in the Walmart and start shopping for water, for Pepto-Bismol, ammonium 80, and the Holy Spirit told her that, are you trying to...
Are you setting yourself up?
You're
yeah.
setting yourself up to get sick like
are
that, you know?
Are you planning on this?
Yeah,
you're
planning to get sick.
Your,
you know, it's like we
days.
Have to renew our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned
oh,
so
wow.
much. I've learned
wow.
so much about
trust
that.
The protection.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You
yes.
know... Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. You know, it's
wow.
just like we learned so much.
Wow.
About.
You know, it's so because I'm listening to you, Rose, and like you've tasted.
I did.
And you tasted and you went. I mean, it was a healing conference, but
oh
I see joy on you.
Oh,
and I see love on you. And I see all these other things because she's been in the presence.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And all these other things. You know, I'm excited. I'm happy
so
today.
Excited.
But it was a healing conference. Mm-hmm. What? You know, where all this happiness come from? This joy.
That's amazing.
You know, because God does that. And I experienced that right here at this church. I had that same shoulder. I don't know what it was. They said the rotator cuff tear or something. And boy, I could only raise my arm this high. And I was doing the little exercises, calling, you know. And right now I was here praying. And a friend of mine, she came up to me. I mean, the praise and worship was going, and she came up to me and she said, "Praise Jesus." She grabbed my arm and she, "Praise Jesus." I'm like, "Oh no." You know, because she didn't realize, she didn't know. But my God, she did it. And I mean, it was gone. It was gone. The pain was gone. The restriction was absolutely gone. I'm like, "Oh my God. Oh my God." You know, I was able to do that. Yes.
We have a part in that.
Yes,
right?
I was like so amazed at that. I was like, oh my That's God. Terrible. You know, and it was in the presence of the praise and the worship. And, you know, I mean, I'm telling you folks. And it doesn't have to.
Death and love is in the tongue, too.
Yeah.
Death and love is in the tongue.
Yes.
Whatever you say in your body,
yes.
If you're sick, you know, don't say anything negative about it. You know what I'm saying?
And what's the key? The see it inside. Imagine it.
Speak words of life.
Right.
Yes. You know, and that is so
and
absolutely
true. We have the power.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
Yes.
We have the power to say it. You know, we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead.
Yes. If you all saw that movie, A Breakthrough, I don't know how many saw that movie, Breakthrough, and that mom and how adamant she was in that waiting room. Don't talk any negative. I'm praying. I'm trying to break my son. I'm trying to get my son healed. Don't be out here talking any negative. You're going to talk negative, go home. You know, we're just going to talk about God and what God is going to do and the great things that he's going to do. And folks, you can create this presence wherever. You know, you really feel it in the house of God because there's so many believers praising and worshiping. And God inhabits those praises, but you can create it in your home.
Right.
And, you know, and you're right. Yeah, absolutely. She keeps saying that, but she's absolutely true. You got to change and shift your thinking.
Because whatever you believe, it will be the result of your outcome.
Yes.
Because that's how we have to think.
Yes.
Because we have the mind of Christ. We have
that
ability because
it's in us. Death and life is in the power of the tongue.
I have to tell you.
Oh, man, how true that is. How true that is when it comes to death and life and the power of the tongue, says the word of God. Folks, you got to speak words of life over your life. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Rose.
When I was diagnosed with cancer, I told everybody, I don't want to do anything negative. Okay. If you can't pray for me and believe what I believe, then don't.
Yes.
I did. I just sorted out the people that were negative. Yeah. I did. And I didn't want no part at that time.
Yes.
Because you have to believe with all your heart.
Yes.
And if people start feeding you negative things, then you start picking up on them.
Yes.
It's very
absolutely.
Important.
Absolutely. Well, a spirit is attached to that, you know, that negativism. You know, I'm always praying, come your kingdom. Come in the come your kingdom. Your will be done. Your will be done here in this life. I mean, really, folks, we got to change our mindset. And it's hard to change your mindset because of the society we live in. We live in a complaining society, and it is not more apparent in anywhere I believe in the world than the United States of America. We are so spoiled, and we complain so much. You know, I mean, we have people in the world don't have half of what we have, and we still grumble, and we still complain, and we still bicker. I mean, oh my God. So it's harder for us to be grateful. It's harder for us to speak words of life because we're always complaining. I mean, it's just sort of like a part of the culture almost that you complain. In fact, if you're not complaining, people look at you like you're strange. What are you so happy about? You know?
What I've learned through
instead
of complaining, worship the Lord.
Yes.
Worship him.
Yes. But then you're going to stand out now. You're going to stand out. You know, people
are
going to think you've been in the presence.
That's fine.
Okay. I'm just warning you.
I'll put my veil.
I'm just warning you. Go ahead.
Everything that's been said here today is a confirmation to what happened to me yesterday. I got a phone call. My son's going to have heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard it, emotions. I was just dealing with emotions. And I prayed and, oh, God, you know how you pray and beg. And I did that for about 3 hours, I think. And then I started to settle down. And I went to Psalms 118, which is, you know, I will live and not die. But the Lord said, read the one before and the one after.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, immediately I said, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, and I felt such a peace. And he's going to have surgery, but the outcome is good.
Amen.
One way or the other, because
Amen.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
And
yes.
there's a, it yes, says something about the Lord. I can't remember how it goes, but I prayed it for my son, because he does know the Lord. He just
mm-hmm.
hasn't been walking with the Lord for a long time, and mm-hmm. I thought, this is a wake-up call.
Yes, yes.
So then I get calls from my other kids last
yeah.
night. Well, Mom, are you praying for Stone? I said, are you?
Yeah.
I said, so it's a good thing
yes.
to praise God, and I just want to praise
yes.
the Lord, because I know that
yes.
something good's going to come.
Amen, from amen. Because you're like, okay, well, let's pray right now on the phone. You know, when people call
well,
you.
At first it was
yeah.
emotions.
Yeah.
You know, I cried
yeah.
and begged
uh-huh.
and then
uh-huh.
I stopped.
Yeah.
And then let Holy Spirit in, you know, and lead me and guide me. Tell
yes.
me what to do.
Yes.
What a difference.
Yeah.
Praise God.
You can trust him. And I keep going back to this movie, that's Breakthrough Movie, because
yes.
it's a true story of what happened to this little boy that fell through the ice. And I thought it was just an incredible movie. And I love that scene where Mom finally surrendered, you know, finally surrendered, like you're talking about, Lord, come thy kingdom, be done thy will. I trust you. You're loving. You're good, and I can put them in your hands, and I know it'll be good, Lord. You know, no matter what happens, Lord, I know it will be good, Father. So I want your presence to come, you know. And that's what we have to get. As Rose was talking, we got to change your mindset. You know, those of you people that are controlling, you controlling people, you choleric personality types, you know who you are. You have to surrender to him. You got to change your mindset. Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. You know, and that's how you got to change your mind. And you got to say, Lord, I know you can, Lord. I'm just leaving it with you, Lord God. And it's okay to leave it with God. You know, because some people, you're like, okay, I'll leave it with you. And then you question, like, oh, my God, did I do the right thing? But with God, you don't have to worry about that. When you surrender and you leave it with him, He loves that person more than you love them.
Right.
Oh, my God. I know it's hard for us to believe as mamas sometimes, but he loves them more. And if you would just surrender and get out of the way sometimes, oh, the things that he would do, the miracles that he could. And he is a God of the eternal.
Amen.
He's not just looking at your son. He's looking at all your children.
Yes.
You got to look at this corporately. You know, look at the corporation of your family.
Yes.
You know, because they're calling, are you praying? Yeah. Well, let's pray.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it wakes people up.
Yeah.
The dad was with you. Yeah. He was watching, kind of standing back, and, you know, and but I think
he
sensed.
Surrendered,
yeah. Yeah, he hadn't surrendered, but I think but they still saw that there was a spirit that was operating. Even though Mom was praying and doing all this stuff, there was a spirit operating that she had to release to the Lord. And that's when God came in and moved, you know, when there was a trust in him and you let the walls down.
Isn't it neat
yeah.
how he didn't believe in God, the one that saved him?
Yeah, the firefighter.
He didn't believe in God, but yet
he heard
God's voice.
Yeah.
I'm like,
let
oh
me tell you,
God.
He is a God. He is a God of the whole earth.
Amen.
The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof.
Amen.
God can speak through a donkey, okay? I heard he spoke through a donkey one time. So he can speak to anybody, because this guy's like, I don't even believe in God. I'm like, well, you know, that doesn't inhibit God. You know, God's got something he's doing. He's moving. You know, he can't, okay, I know you don't know me, but I'm using you right now to speak, to do something. You know, but isn't that amazing? But God had his finger on that person's life. God is like, because he's sitting there and he's thinking, what was that voice?
Yeah.
Maybe there is a God, you know.
I like what Rose said, minimize your symptoms and magnify God.
Yes.
I mean, God is greater.
Yes.
It made me think of, 25 years ago, 1994, when I was diagnosed with cancer,
mm-hmm.
the doctor, I would tell people, well, the doctors say I have cancer, but the word of God says I'm healed.
Yes.
So
yes.
God is
yes.
healed.
I'm healed, yes.
I had it
Yes.
time and a third time, and that's 7 years ago this month.
Praise God.
And God, you know, I give him all the glory.
Amen.
And, you know, get excited when you know that God has touched you. You do, you taste and see how good he is.
Yes.
Only the crave.
Yeah.
Crave more.
Crave more. You taste it, you see. Wow. Amen.
Anyways, I know we're almost getting out of here. I just want to share this because I know my husband always hear from the Lord. I mean, constantly hear from the Lord. And I said, Lord, why can't I have that, you know? But you know what? Last week, I think it was last week, I was heavily, I was reading the Bible so much that I was dozing off. And the Lord audibly spoke to me, I love you. Oh my God, I said, I love you. And I woke up and said, I love you, Lord, like this. And I start crying. I was like, oh my Lord. And I just actually heard him. I thought that was my husband. I felt like Samuel. I said, is that you, Lord? And I was like, and it's like a man's voice. I was like, thank you.
See, now I want that.
But we need to read, have relationship, and that's so important.
Yes. Engage God, folks. You won't regret it. Engage him.
Yes.
Engage him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. And Lord, even now, Lord God, we pray. We want to engage you right now.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we want to come into your presence, Lord God, because we know in your presence is fullness of joy, not a piece of joy or a part of joy. It's full. Oh, Lord, you complete us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, you give us life, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God. Oh, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, remind us to speak words of life over ourselves. Speak the word of God over ourselves, Lord God. I pray that you take criticism out of our mouth, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, that we would praise you and we would be worshiping you, Lord, even as the world all around us complains, Lord God. Oh, Father, we will praise the Lord our God. Oh, Lord, we will lift you up even as the circumstances come into our lives, Lord God. We will lift up our eyes and we will praise the Lord our God, Lord God. Lord, we pray right now that your kingdom come and your will be done, oh Lord, on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God. Oh Father, I pray that you would lift the fog from our eyes so that we can see with clarity what you're doing, Lord God, because it encourages us as we see what you're doing in the earth. Lord, let our ears hear what you're doing. Let our eyes see what you're doing, Lord God. Oh Father, even what you're doing in us personally, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for the testimony, Lord God, how you say, I love you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord God, that we'll see more of you talking and speaking to us as our ears are turned to listen, Lord God, as we dig into your word. Oh, Lord, as we seek your presence, Lord God. Oh, Father, you have torn the veil, Lord God. It's just up to us to come into the Holy of Holies, Lord God. So I pray we would seek to come into the Holy of Holies, Lord God. We would not linger outside for any reason. We would cast down the lies of the enemy and we would draw near to our God and our Lord. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord. We pray we would be changed. We want to be changed, Lord God. Oh Lord, we thank you, oh Lord, for the shed blood of Christ that bought our access. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we appreciate it.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You didn't have to do it. And we hear you saying to your Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done in this, Lord God. And you went and you laid down your life for us, Lord God. So we thank you. We thank you for the presence, Lord God. I pray for each and every individual, oh Lord, even this week, Lord, that they would experience your presence. You're like they've never done before, Lord. Those that have already experienced it, let them experience it even more, because there's always more. There's always more. Oh, Lord, you give us a glimpse of who you are, Lord God. Oh, Lord, one day we know we will see you as you are, Lord God. Oh, we will see you as you are, Lord God. But right now, Lord, we thank you that we can come into your presence. Oh, Lord, where there is fullness of joy. And there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you,
and we praise you. And we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.